From somewhere in Northeast Indiana, Mike Davidson lives. And now your host of the podcast, Mike Davidson.
Oh, yes, Mr. Robert, thank you very much. Tis me, it is Mike. This is Mike Davidson Lives, name of the podcast. Thank you for hanging out, downloading all that good stuff. Going into the holiday weekend, and happy Easter, one and all. We're going to meet up with some friends of my wife's coming up Saturday morning, and then Mr. Rob Roop, we're going to hang with him for a little bit. We're going to make another sojourn down to Kokomo, and it'll be a lot. This will be like the third weekend in a row I've been out of town in the same area, too. But thankfully, this will be good because we're meeting up with people we like, and it's no way at all affiliated with government, and there's no chance of it being canceled or pushed up like what the National Weather Service did. But Easter Sunday, no big plans. My wife has to work that Sunday, but there will be an Easter egg hunt for the kiddos. They will get candy, and it'll probably drive me up a frickin' wall. Not too bad, though. I'm in a pretty good mood, and it's not just the caffeine talking. Not to discuss finances or anything. I can't give you the concrete numbers, but we took care of taxes, and they owe us. We don't owe them. So that's out in the mail now. We're going to be okay. We're going to get paid back the money that we made. And we can actually do things like put in savings and continue to pay down the house and maybe even do some fun stuff coming up in the summer. Looking forward to that. It's not quite Powerball jackpot money or Mega Millions money. Mega Millions winner, by the way, out in New Jersey. Going to be a billionaire. Who knows how much the taxes are out in New Jersey. Just congratulations, though, Mega Millions winner for not being from California this time around. Powerball jackpot still going up. Although there is a person that won $1 million here in Fort Wayne from Powerball not too long ago. Not the jackpot, which is now north of, I think, like $930 million or something. I don't know. Maybe I can convince my wife to use some of that tax return money to go and buy a few tickets. A nice little way to cushion retirement, if that at all happens for either one of us. By the way, I was a little rough this week. Just kind of tired and wore out from work. But my wife is, she's a little despondent. You know how it is where you look back at something fondly from your childhood, and then, you know, adulthood happens, and you see what happens to make some of the things that you enjoyed behind the scenes, like children's programming. My wife was a big Nickelodeon kid. And we don't have Max, but my wife has been reading all about Quiet on Set, which is the docuseries. Was it Nick Drake, former child star who was sexually abused by Brian Peck, who was the voice coach, the acting coach, all around douchebag and creep and. Sadly enough, just down the road from us, from Huntington, Indiana. But she found out all about that stuff, and she goes, you know, it really does put a taint on what I grew up with. You know, and she was kind of sad about it. I was like, well, I think that's true of any generation, because I told my wife that one of the big guys I watched on television growing up in the 80s was Bill Cosby. I mean, this guy was the TV dad, the Cosby Show. He was on Picture Pages, which, oddly enough, aired on Nickelodeon. He had the Junkyard Gang, Fat Albert, all that stuff. He was the voice of, he's the face of Kodak. He was the face of Coca-Cola. He was the face of Jell-O Pudding Pops and all that fun stuff. I mean, he was the guy and a very big influence on a lot of stand-up comedians. And then you find out this guy, not all that great. So, I'll delve more into this later on the podcast, but I don't know if that made my wife feel better, but it's not just her generation dealing with creeps who made entertaining programming for kids. For the adults, The Onion looks to be being sold by GO Media, America's finest news source. At one time, pretty good satirical newspaper. GO just not too long ago sold Deadspin, and Deadspin got torpedoed, and everybody got fired, deservingly so. And recently, GO offloaded a former sister publication of The Onion, AV Club. Because AV Club was an offshoot of The Onion before they got bought out. AV Club was kind of, you know, your audiovisual, basically pop culture part of The Onion that was actually not satirical. That's gone. The Takeout has been sold, which was a food website. And now The Onion looks to be sold. GO Media looking to get out of the media business. And if The Onion gets sold, you would have to think that some of the people behind the scenes get axed. Just so that it looks a lot more appeasing to anybody that buys that brand. Joe Rogan pointed this out on the podcast, and Joe, he doesn't strike me as a right-wing Christian kind of guy, but the Babylon Bee, which is a little right-leaning, a little Christian-leaning, right? They've kind of taken the place of The Onion in terms of, pop culture. I mean, maybe not in the Hollywood circles, but like on social media with your friends. I see a lot more articles shared from the Onion, or not The Onion, The Bee, than I do The Onion. Onion is taking this real hard left to the point where they think if they're just vile and vindictive in their headlines, that's comedy. And I think that it's a shell of its former self just because it's so bitter. I mean, the whole point about comedy is you have to laugh. And, you know, be satirical, not just mean-spirited. And I'm not going to list headlines of The Onion recently. But there was one that would pertain to the October 7th attacks in Israel. And I just said to myself, this is supposed to be funny? I mean, the comedy aspect of The Onion has just dropped a long ways. So it looks like they might be going the way of Deadspin. Kind of a wait and see type of thing on this. A couple sports stories before I delve into the heavy stuff. There's a shitload of heavy stuff, as always. NFL, their drunken owners meeting. I mean, their get together. Every year they get together and decide to switch up crap on you, like kickoff rules. There's a new one. And there's a new rule of this and a new rule of that. And the more controversial rule they've passed is the banning of the swivel. Hip tackles are still okay-ish, but if you turn a player while tackling him at the hips, that can result in a 15-yard penalty. And of course, this is just like leading toward the NFL doing away with tackling altogether eventually. That's where it kind of seems to be going. Well, no, there's just a swivel tackle. Well, a couple things. That would be to the eye of the beholder, i.e. the ref, and what constitutes a swivel. How much of a swivel is a swivel? I mean, if a football player, if a defensive back or safety that comes up on the play makes the tackle and does it all right, and the player turns in his hands and he's not turning him, does that count as a swivel? And somebody pointed this out, that if this law rule was enforced back during the Titans Rams Super Bowl years ago, it may not have been the Rams hoisting up that Lombardi. I mean, this is some pretty serious stuff here. Banning the swivel tackle, it's just going to frustrate a lot of defensive coordinators, a lot of guys on the D. And this looks to be like the NFL doing away with tackling. And they might be saying, well, it's for the health of the players, the health of the players. They just added a 17th game to the schedule a couple seasons back. You know, now they've got 14 teams instead of 12 in the playoffs. They want to do more international games. They're thinking about playing on Christmas Day this year, which is in the middle of the week, Wednesday. On a Wednesday. If you play a Sunday night game or a Sunday afternoon game, you have to get ready for a Wednesday afternoon game. That's your Christmas week right there. This is so bass backwards. Roger Goodell is more concerned about branding than he is about safety. He's more concerned about branding than he is about actual NFL players or NFL fans. He just wants to look for that new audience. And by the way, I have chronicled on this podcast how well that's gone for a lot of people in pop culture looking for that new audience. Best of luck to you. Now, Ice Cube, he runs, was it Big Three? His own little basketball league. He's offered Caitlin Clark $5 million to come play 10 games. And I'm sure she's going pro. She's going to go to the WNBA. She'll make some money and perhaps make a splash in the WNBA. Who knows? Maybe a few eyeballs will watch the game. But she would be playing against guys in the Big Three. And I hate to sound like the sexist in the room, and I'm not a sexist, but I know that there is a slight difference physically between men and women. It would be a little harder for her to get off shots than it would be against somebody of her own chromosome set. You know what I mean? It's just guys are stronger and bigger and faster as a rule. Now, could she outrun me? Yes, because I'm old and fat. That goes without saying. She could beat me in basketball. But could she beat Steph Curry? Could she beat LeBron James? Could she beat... And those guys are NBA players. But, I mean, that's... Nobody's asking that question. Well, somebody did ask this question. Why can't Caitlin Clark play in the NBA? I saw this on social media, and it's like, you got to be kidding me. But, you know, if she decided to take him up on the offer, take the money, yeah, $5 million, even if you bomb at it, that's $5 million. And that wouldn't do anything, unless she sustained a real bad injury, that wouldn't really do anything to her in the WNBA. She could have bragging rights as to being, you know, hey, I played against a bunch of dudes. All right, so... A serious story here, and it kind of dovetails to a point I've been making about politics. This is a local story here, and this happened quickly. Last month, Tom Henry, the mayor of Fort Wayne, town that I live near, he just won his fifth term. He's 72 years old. He announced that he had like stage 3 stomach cancer last month, end of February. And that's pretty serious. He just lost his wife to pancreatic cancer. And that's serious. 72-year-old man battling cancer, still mayor. Wednesday, he was admitted to the hospital for some emergency pertaining to it. Earlier in the evening, Thursday night, they announced that Tom Henry, the mayor of Fort Wayne, was entering hospice care. Hospice being end of life. And sadly, just a few hours ago, age of 72, stomach cancer, Tom Henry no longer with us, passed away. And this was a guy who kind of dragged his feet in his fourth term about whether or not he wanted to run again. He decides to run again. He's 72. And unfortunately, he's gone. And I'm serious when I say this. Condolences in my thoughts and prayers, not in the sarcastic sense, as some people would say on social media, to his family. It's terrible to lose anybody to cancer. If you know anybody that's had any form of cancer that's no longer with us, it's heartbreaking. But when I look at a story like this, and I'm looking at the national scene right now with Donald Trump just south of 80, the current president, Joe Biden, north of 80. You know, you got people like Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi, and they've been there for decades, and they don't know when to hang it up. I do believe that there should be term limits and age limits in various offices. Now, I'm talking about, you know, the mayor, unfortunately, passing away here. It's a local office, and I'm talking about federal offices when it comes to the Senate, when it comes to the House, when it comes to the presidency. But I think a lot of voters need to take that into consideration. None of us are getting any younger. And, you know, I just talked about how fat I am and how I would get my ass kicked by Caitlin Clark on the basketball court. Yeah. But it's something to take into consideration. I'm not saying go elect a 25-year-old as mayor. But, you know, I think after a couple terms, you need to look for fresh blood. And, you know, I think if you're north of 72, I mean, and you've been in politics for a bit or, you know, whatever, you can go on to greener pastures. You can go on and do more reasonable things with your life. I don't understand the mentality of any Republican or Democrat or anybody in between or outside of those circles who want to make a life out of politics. I have more thoughts about it, but I saw this, and we do have an interim mayor next door in Fort Wayne. I don't think the city's going to fall apart, but I mean this does give you pause. I mean, if you're not thinking about this as a voter for any office, maybe it's something you consider. And again, thoughts and prayers and condolences to Tom Henry's family. Again, he's no longer with us at the age of 72. A little more lighthearted in terms of politics. Again, as I just mentioned with Biden and Trump being the grumpy old men in the 2024 election here. Not everybody's cup of tea, either one of those guys. Okay, fine, whatever. A lot of people are upset that RFK is running as a third party because they're saying that Simon's votes off from Biden. I really don't care how many candidates run for president, if they're libertarian or if they're socialist or whatever, because there is kind of a monopoly on the two-party system. There is. So you have to present a stronger case than any of the other candidates. There is a guy in Texas who is not a fan of either Trump or Biden. And he has, it seems a little extreme, but I mean, he can always be more extreme. He has changed his name to literally anybody else. And he's petitioning to have his name put on the ballot in the state of Texas for the U.S. presidency. And he's a little bit off by a couple hundred thousand signatures, you know. But he says this is a rallying cry because of the two-party system. It's only a rallying cry whenever they do over like a third-party candidate to presidency, in my opinion. I don't think much is going to change this year. But but if anything, for literally anybody else, if he does get on the ballot, chances are he'll probably get more votes than the libertarian candidate. There is a party that really needs some work. So, yeah, literally anybody else trying to get on the ballot in Texas. All right. So, like I said, a lot of heavy shit. Earlier this week, this still floors me. Port of Baltimore, the cargo ship running right into the Francis Scott Key Bridge and obliterating. And this happened like at 1:30 in the morning. And unfortunately, six people lost their lives. They were construction workers on that bridge. And there has been some recovery efforts trying to find any cars that may have fallen in. But as my wife pointed out as we were talking about it, I mean, this happened at 1:30 in the morning in Baltimore. If this happened at rush hour, this would have been a terrible, terrible loss of life. Because I believe, was it 695 runs around across the Francis Scott Key Bridge. So, you know, major interstate runs on top of that bridge. So, I mean, it could have been a hell of a lot worse, but it's not looking all that great right now because, for starters, to reconstruct that bridge, some experts are saying it'll take 10 years. That's once everything's cleaned up. Right now, they're trying, with all the Army Corps of Engineers, everybody that's trying to scurry to get this cleaned up, they're saying that this could take months to clean up because we're talking about trying to get the boat out of the way. How much damage did the boat take? Any toxic chemicals being spilled into that port? You know, and you got material from that bridge. I think it's like right there at the base of a river, and it's like 50 feet deep, so ships can't really pass through. This could take a while to clean up. I'm going to link this up on the podcast page. The guys at Not the Bee,
There's this guy that really breaks down how bad this could be for the port of Baltimore, the city of Baltimore, and the state of Maryland. How catastrophic and how bad it could be for us, the United States, because this is a port, a major port, that brings in things from other countries, that sends out things from other countries. This could have an effect on our economy. This could back up other ports trying to take on that cargo. And, of course, a lot of tax revenue Baltimore benefits from. A lot of that revenue, of course, and the state of Maryland, which saw a record number of foreclosures, house foreclosures, last year. And this is before all this. And there are news reports floating around right now about port authority or port employees worried about losing their jobs. Rightfully so. Because they could be laid off. This could be a very, very stressful time for Maryland, for Baltimore, and the United States. I mean, we're already dealing with inflationary problems as is. And now you've got this major bridge in a big American city that could obstruct our way of doing things economically on an international scale. So it bears watching. I don't think I've ever seen anything like this. In the video, I mean, I'm still at a loss. I mean, they had electrical problems. Sure, they showed the lights in the video going out on this boat twice. And they kick back on, and then it hits the base of the bridge, and everything just falls apart. It's crazy. Like I said, it's a blessing in disguise that it did not happen during morning rush hour or the ride home, because that could have been a hell of a lot worse. Okay, so Maryland's dealing with problems. Florida has found a way to deal with a problem that's not theirs yet. You've seen some stories about this out of Georgia. Big story last week out of New York State, where a woman was arrested for trying to get squatters out of her house because of squatters' rights in the state of New York. And what I interjected last week was, okay, how soon does this become a thing in other states? I mean, you have the Bill of Rights, you know, your freedom of speech, your freedom of religion, your freedom to bear arms, your freedoms to do a whole hell of a lot. And the government's saying, well, no, you don't have a right to your own property. This squatter can claim it, because why the hell not? Governor DeSantis down in the state of Florida has passed a bill protecting homeowners from such things. Now, I do have it linked up on the Mike Davidson Facebook page. And, of course, it's just a basic overview of the law that was signed into existence down there in the Sunshine State. And, of course, if a homeowner needs a squatter removed, of course, they will have to pay for the services of an officer to get them out of the house. And, you know, there's some other stuff in there, too. But it's sad that a law like this has to be passed to protect your own property in a state. I applaud DeSantis for getting ahead of this, because, well, he's paying attention. But in this day and age, if you're a homeowner, or you have a property that you would like to sell to somebody else and you can't because somebody else is using something that supersedes your rights as an owner, yeah, it's weird that you have to have something that complements the Bill of Rights. You know what I mean? It's just strange to me that this has to happen. And, you know, I still go back to that story about that the squatter story in New York, because the woman that owned the home couldn't even turn off the utilities to drive these people out. Like, she was paying for the utilities for these people to use. And, of course, now DeSantis in Florida signs this into law, and hopefully more forward-thinking and more forward-thinking politicians might get the idea. That's what I'm trying to get at here. Okay, so I talked about my wife's disillusionment with Nickelodeon and Brian Pick and Dan Schneider, who was a producer behind the scenes. And I was thinking about this, and there's also the Diddy situation, where he's being accused of sex trafficking
among other things. Like, he had homes on both coasts raided while he was out of the country, of course. And it's not looking too good for the 54-year-old rap mogul. But, you know, you look at a story like this, and I'm not putting on the tinfoil hat and look through the looking glass, sheeple. Not like that. But I will say, not that they're connected, Nickelodeon and Diddy, but the fact that these two spheres operated the way that they have, and there are people that think it's a conspiracy theory that Jeffrey Epstein had this big client list in Hollywood. Is it really a conspiracy? Again, the stuff that Diddy is being accused of, the stuff that Kevin Spacey's been accused of, the stuff that these guys at Nickelodeon have been accused of, and one of them convicted of, by the way, Harvey Weinstein, accused of, convicted of, spending the rest of his life in prison. And then you got Roman Polanski, who's still living abroad in Europe, who will probably never set foot in these United States ever again because, well, of the horrific thing he did. Is it really that much of a conspiracy? Is it really that much of an extreme thought to think that Jeffrey Epstein did have a pretty high-profile client list? I'm not going to say who was on that client list because I sure as hell haven't seen the client list. I'm just saying the existence thereof. Because God almighty, I wouldn't want anybody to get upset with me for making any jokes. Okay, yeah. So, that it's just something to think about. By the way, some good news, goodish news. Sam Bankman-Fried was convicted earlier Thursday, or was it Wednesday? God, these days are blurring together. Well, this week he's going to jail for 25 years, and he's been ordered to pay $11 billion back for defrauding investors. Now, there were some people that wanted him to go to jail for life. I think the prosecution was going for 50 years. Judge said 25. I would have put him in for 50 at least. How in the hell is this dude going to pay back $11 billion to people that he defrauded? But this also bears thinking. This guy was a smooth talker. Much like, I wouldn't say a smooth talker, but he was friendly. Because he's kind of an awkward guy. But he presented that harmless demeanor and was able to get people to invest in his cryptocurrency. Much like that goofball that got a bunch of people to invest in his Firefest. Yeah. And then, of course, you got Bernie Madoff and all that. There's just no shortage of characters. What I'm trying to get at is when somebody wants to use your money to invest in because you got to think about your future, your retirement, think twice. You know, don't give them everything. God knows, could you imagine if SBF was in charge of Social Security? Yeah, like that's not already a flaming bag of dog shit. By the way, all-time tweet, freezing cold takes, they usually do sports. But they found this chestnut of Jim Cramer going back June 22nd of 2022. Sam Bankman-Fried doles out credit lines to save crypto institutions. He's the new J.P. Morgan. There is nobody on planet Earth that has the job security that Jim Cramer has. Not even meteorologists. How does this guy continue to stay employed at CNBC? Well, mainly because he's not a Republican. They would freak out. And I guess I should wrap it up now because there was a lot of stuff there. There might be some things I get into next week that I can get to here. But North Korea, I guess they were showing this British gardening show or something. And throughout the entire episode, the gardener, the host of the show, had a blur from his feet up to his waist. They blurred it. They censored. The thing is the guy was not naked. He was wearing blue jeans. But because North Korea is North Korea and they distaste freedom and they associate jeans with the Western world. They have banned jeans, so the visage of jeans is not allowed on television. They have banned jeans, much like they have banned international phone calls, the internet, and food. They're alive because they make nukes for terrorists. And then, all of a sudden, done. Till next time.
You've been listening to Mike Davidson Live. Be sure to check him out on social media. Like him at facebook.com/mdavidsonlives. Follow him on Twitter. Look for @DavidsonLives.